This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The National LGBTI Health Alliance held its 8th conference, Health Indifference 2013, Our Bodies, Our Minds, in Melbourne in April 2013. Joy 94.9, Australia's only radio station for our diverse communities, is proud to partner with the Alliance to bring you this recording of the 2013 conference.
Next up, we have Barry Taylor. Barry, did you want me to do your intro? Okay, great. Barry Taylor, who you might all be somewhat familiar with, he has worked in mental health promotion and suicide prevention for 25 years at the local, national and international levels. His extensive experience includes sitting on the state and Commonwealth government advisory committees, designing, implementing and evaluating suicide prevention programs, writing suicide prevention guidelines, training packages and community resources, providing technical advice to community-based and national mental health promotion and suicide prevention programs. I haven't finished yet, he does more. Barry is an internationally sought-after presenter and trainer on his specialist subject areas of mental health promotion, suicide prevention, loss and grief, spirituality and men's well-being. He has a particular interest in suicide and depression in men, as well as sexuality-related suicide. In 2010, he organised a national men's gathering in New Zealand on men's mental health and well-being. Barry brings a sociological analysis and a public health framework to his work, as well as his lived experience of depression. He has a keen interest in the social and cultural determinants of health and well-being and is an advocate for evidence-based practice, the use of outcomes-based logic in both program development and evaluation measures for complex social health programs. He currently leads the Mind Out LGBTI Mental Health and Suicide Prevention Project, which is the first national project of his kind. He's got 1 minute left of
his
presentation.
Thank you.
Barry, sorry. Thank you.
Obviously, four people have been bored. We've got four more surveys in the... thank you. But also, just at the beginning, is to acknowledge the last two presentations, which have kind of been happening through the Mind Out Project, but also independently. So this is what I want to say is this is a very, very exciting time to be involved in LGBTI mental health and suicide prevention, given my 25 years in this field, when 25 years ago it was virtually non-existent, and there are still some challenges there. And so it wasn't, and part of the problem, my colleagues in suicidology often used to say, well, Barry, we just don't know, we don't have the data. And of course, one of the problems is, as I keep saying, well, if you don't ask the questions, how will we ever get the data? So it has not been a question. And just to give you an example of that, it's often talked about, and even in national strategies, we have had developments. Or, you know, we are mentioned. Sometimes we get a paragraph. Usually we get a sentence. And even like organisations like SPA, the Suicide Prevention of Australia, have. Written positionship. Just as one sort of measure, though, in the field of suicidology, and I use this as I have been to lots and lots of suicide conferences all over the world, and never has LGBTI been a plenary session. So we're one of the major groups which are affected by poor mental health and suicide, but we have never had a plenary session at an international or national conference on suicide. We're usually like a concurrent stream, 5 o'clock in the second last afternoon, and it's all full of all the queers who think they should go and support it. And actually none of the other people have ever. So I'm just highlighting that once again we have this kind of issue that we're tolerated and acknowledged, but we're still not accepted at one level. And so we used to have that. In New Zealand, I was accused of using suicide to promote homosexuality by one of the well-known researchers who's now in Auckland. Deal with her, will you? So, for instance, under the first National Youth Suicide Prevention Strategy, Here for Life, back in 94, there was recognition, but there was little funding. One project, however, is still going. That's, of course, the Freedom Centre in Perth. That was funded initially out of that funding, and it's still going. In 1996, I got some little bit of funding, and we brought Gary Remifedi, who did some of the first early work in the United States around gay and lesbian youth suicide, and we had a forum, and wasn't even as many people in this room who came together. And whereas now we have major kind of discussion. Consequently, surveys and look what's happened. Particularly, I want to acknowledge the work of Gabby, who was the original executive officer of the Alliance, that we have now have this strategy. And so out of that came the Mind Out funding, and that has happened, and I'll talk about that. But also to acknowledge other initiatives. For instance, Beyond Blue are doing amazing work in this area. And what's so exciting is under their national research funding, LGBTI mental health is a major focus at the last round. So in the next couple of years, we're going to actually get some rich data and research that we can actually say to policymakers, look, this is actually what we know. It's not no longer soft or invisible data. We have, you've heard from the Victorians that New South Wales, a peace of mind, you're going to hear about that in a moment. Queensland Mental Health Services have done things, and sorry, in Queensland also Healthy Communities have done it. Western Australia, there's some great work there, and Tasmania at the moment have some funding through their state government. So suddenly we've gone from invisibility to that. Never enough, but we are actually working through that. So Mind Out is a project. This project, really, we should be proud of in Australia, because this is the first of its kind in the world. That is, when a Commonwealth government has recognised, not only said at a national level, this is an issue, but we are going to fund a national coordinated response to it. Different suicide prevention strategies around the world have put a little local project, you get money here and there. But this is the first systemic approach to addressing suicide prevention and mental health at a national level. So we're proud of that. We're also bloody nervous because then, of course, all the suicidologists all around the world are saying, Barry, what are you doing? They're looking at this project with quite a lot of interest. Just as a matter of fact, we presented this at the Asia Pacific Conference in Chennai last year. And out of that, once again, we've been struggling with the International Association of Suicide Prevention to get a special interest group on lesbian and gay or sexuality-related suicide. Never got off the ground, and it looks like we're finally going to get recognition to have a specialist interest group in the International Association. So it's funded by the Commonwealth Department of Health and Ageing, and once again, another little miracle. It was meant to be finishing this year. It's now but going to finish next year. So it's a three-year project, which has meant we're critical mass. So Atari's kind of thing. What we're trying to do is work with LGBTI organisations plus mainstream to improve mental health and the suicide prevention outcomes for our communities. And we have two audiences. One is how do we work with our communities around these issues, and also to work with the mainstream kind of issues, communities about their issues. So in terms of mainstream, one, what we are doing is we're developing a cultural competency framework. So if you look at that notion of cultural safety and a cultural appropriateness, came out of New Zealand, actually, around working Indigenous. Sorry, I've been busy baking a cake and booking caterers and everything for my wedding. Just got to find the husband, but that's a mere detail. A little wedding on Waiheke, I can see in my future. But so we've got the cultural competency framework. So that's kind of saying is that actually there is a cultural framework in which LGBTI clients come to our services, and that's what we do. We are looking at how do you develop champions? You know, does by having someone in an organisation who champions the issues either clinically or organisationally, does that actually increase the capacity? We know in AND there's been some really successful work we're trying to with now. This is the most really exciting project. We brought together a whole lot of highly experienced LGBTI clinicians, counsellors, for 2 days, and we're starting a process. And it's called practice wisdom. That is drawing out their wisdom of practice. So it's not what you learn in manuals or whatever, but what are the real practice pearls of wisdom that are successful working and engaging. For the poor facilitator, it was a nightmare because you couldn't shut them up, and some of the people here. But it was an exciting 2 days because very rarely once again, do we ever come together and actually talk about, as clinicians, about our practice? We're often sole practitioners in private practice or in working in sole person within a mainstream service. This is a very exciting project and has really captured people's creative imagination. We're doing work around, of course, policy advice, the Mental Health Commission report card. Still a long way to go. There was only a couple of mentions, for instance, within that, and still a long way to go about that. But we are very successful in the consumer's recovery model. They really took on board. They got it. They understood about stigma and discrimination and really took that on board in the project. There is Network Mind out, so involved. It's a way of being involved. There are webinars and that. So join up, go to our site and join in. Every month we have a topic, so you can just sit at your desk for 1 hour, be exposed to some fantastic presentations. We also have a range of other initiatives the symposium's being part of that, and also our newsletter. And as Atari says, what we're doing is this mental health promotion framework. In our communities, what this project has been doing has been creating a space for intentional conversation. That is, we can actually start to talk about it. Just to give you an example, as I said, 662 men. What really has taken off was the number of private messages I've got and the messages and emails by gay men saying, about time. This is so exciting. For the first time, they're hearing our voices, it's been acknowledged. So a lot of this project is creating the space. It's like the early days of HIV/AIDS. We're creating an intentional space for people to have conversations about something that's been hidden and very quiet. Depression, anxiety. When you look at Facebook, for instance, when someone mentions, I'm over my fucking depression, suddenly you're getting 200 comments from people and their friends saying, I know what it's like, or hang in there. We're taking that to a much wider debate in our community. So we're doing training workshops, we're doing consultancy to help our organisations within our sector to also be able to respond better. And we're about to roll out, so look, coming to your area, series of workshops, Rainbow Blues, a workshop on depression, from dying to thriving, let's reframe that, as a workshop, once again, we're creating this, inviting people to come and talk about. And what we took on board was very clearly from our pilots was that people just didn't want to go to like a mental health first aid or another workshop and have the LGBTI tacked on it. And that's the success of these workshops, is that it's central to our analysis. It's our stories, it's our experiences that get explored in these workshops. And once again, please, you want to be involved, want to know about things, that's where we are. Thank you very much.
Don't run away yet, Barry. Any questions, Kathy?
Barry, I'm very interested in this from the standpoint that the work I'm doing with regard to trans people and the legal situation. We're finding too many now are actually suffering from depression and pressures of all sorts because of the amount of work they have to do to be recognised in their new sex.
Mm-hmm.
They have to look at it from the standpoint of about 40-odd pieces of documentation to change, which mm-hmm. is frightening. Many are now just simply saying, because they haven't got the mental capacity to push on with it, is that they will stop that change of name and driver's license. I'm just finding out now from several friends that who have been through for 10 years or more, they haven't even bothered to change their birth certificates mm-hmm. because this is the pressures that's on them. They're scared. My question to you is this: is there anything being done to help, assist, put off this sort of situation from the point of view of trans people?
Not so much within the Mind Out project, but with the strong recognition of the social and cultural determinants. But within the Alliance, yes. So there's been the scoping. There's, of course, been the round table last year. So what we're saying is that, of course, mental health is not just about, as Atari's already pointed out, it's not just about the mental health issues, but those upstream issue. So very much so, the Alliance is trying to work on those as a much broader issue. But what we're trying to make the link, particularly in the Mind Out project, then what are the mental health implications when you don't do that? So what happens when social exclusion happens? What happens when we actually have social inclusion? And what are the positive mental health outcomes?
There's one thing that flows on from this, which a lot of people don't understand, especially in government, is the fact that if you have a trans woman and she's now living with her wife, they're together still, no one has taken into account the mental health issues that the wife is actually suffering because of the pressures put onto the trans person by government.
Yeah.
And so now what we're finding is that we've got a double-edged sword, which is the trans person and their support. This is quite frightening.
And we're finding it in quite a range of things. It's not only that, it's about, and that, like Vicky will talk in the Peace of Mind, is that a lot of the people are coming are because of the, how do I help my partner, you know, with the depression and all those kind of issues. It's a real one.
We'll have to stop there, sorry. Barry, be around for the...
rest of it.
Forever, you can ask him. He's not.
I've got a wedding cake to bake.
Thank you.
So, we have to move along to the next one.
You have been listening to a recording from the Health Indifference 2013 conference held in Melbourne in April 2013. For more information about the National LGBTI Health Alliance, head to lgbtihealth.org.au. And for more information on Joy 94.9, Australia's only radio station for our diverse communities, explore joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.